My guest today is Dutch startup founder Jelle Houben. He's the founder of Beanke, and their platform is designed to obtain relevant insights into an employee's well-being, which can then be used to build a healthier work environment. Beanke currently has thousands of customers, and they operate in the Netherlands. And my co-host today is the one and only Buster Franken from Fruit Punch AI. Jelle, welcome to Innovators Can Laugh.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to have you here. Now, let's get started with innovation, because innovation is defined as something that can be a new method. Maybe it's a new idea or a product. For example, Romanians are really good at new food concepts. I saw an advertisement. Yeah, I saw an advertisement the other day for a Mexican pizza, and this was a pizza with guacamole on top. Buster, I think this is pretty crazy. I will never eat this. Would you ever eat something like that?
I think I would try it. I always try to go for the craziest thing on the menu, which is kind of like a lame thing to say to a waitress, but yeah, it does give you some nice options. It does sound like something kind of American to do, like some sausage crust pizza or some Mexican pizza, but Romanians, apparently, good on you.
Yeah, no, they put corn on their pizza too. I don't know what is it with Romanians and pizza, but guacamole to me sounds disgusting. But on that note, when we talk about innovation and we talk about solutions to helping prevent burnout and improving well-being in the workplace, my question for you, Jelle, is what sort of innovation does Beanke provide employers?
Oh, that's a nice question. It does need some explanation, but I think the biggest innovation that we're really trying to build here is a very complete tool that allows organizations and users and teams to work on themselves and have the whole chain from prevention to follow up just in one tool, making it very accessible to prevent psychological absenteeism and also helping when necessary. Yeah, and there's a
why
lot
did
of-
you start this company, Jelle?
So,
why? Like, when was the light bulb moment that you said, I need to create something like this?
Yeah, that's a little bit of a sad story, actually. So one of my co-founders, Joris, a couple of years ago, one of his best friends, she got into a burnout. She didn't really get the right help at that point, didn't know where to go. Eventually, this also led to a depression. She went back to living to her parents. She got isolated a bit from her friends, family. And Joris also lost kind of the contact with her then until a couple months later when he received a call from her parents that she wasn't there anymore. So when Joris and I met, he was still in the process of processing this. And this was the moment that we thought, we should really come up with something to help people actually prevent this. And that's when we started working.
Wow. I imagine this was probably for one of those maybe big companies, like a consulting company or something like that she was working 80 plus hours a week.
Not even. No.
Do you know what kind of company? No.
No, it was she was still a student at the time. Yeah, so it's funny, we also work with students and we work with companies. But at that time she was a student, and that's
Really?
Yeah,
I know quite a few students that burned out at some point. Kind of the kind of pressure that I think our generation experiences, and Gen Z as well, is different in a way.
I've never heard of such a thing, of a student getting burnt out. Is this something that, well, you say Gen Z, I mean, what do you think that could be? Could it be that there's just too many distractions, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that's so super tough. There are so many reasons why this could happen. You see kind of spikes in burnout and stress during people's lives. And I think at this point for students or younger people, there's so much stress going on with also social media, but also the pressure is a lot higher now to perform quicker in your life. Not sure if it's because of ourselves or because of the society, but that's also what we really see. The pressure is a lot higher.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you have friends like Buster, who is such a remarkable, you know, person, achieving all these different things like security guard and paperboy and chemistry teacher and startup founder, I can understand that. So you got to get some loser friends. That way you can feel better about yourself.
I felt like a loser so much. You can always compare yourself to somebody that's doing it better, right? Like, I've felt a lot of these feelings myself. I don't know about you, Jelle, but...
I totally agree.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so you have this idea to launch this company. How did you get it launched? Are you bootstrapping everything, or did you get funding? And when did you launch this, Jelle?
Yeah, also a nice question. So we actually started during the Masters of Entrepreneurship. It's a really nice master here in Amsterdam, where you can actually learn and already practice a bit of the entrepreneurial road that you're going to follow. And we started during a course, actually. It was called I'm not sure what it was called, but we were just supposed to set up a business and validate the idea. And we just started doing that for 2 months. And then we realized it was quite a nice idea, and the problem was really there. And at the end, we could pitch against 30 other startups. And at that point, we won the competition and we received 1,000 euros to start the business. So that was really a nice start for us to get things going.
How many businesses come out of such a course? Is it just the winner, or did other people have some crazy ideas as well that they continued with?
Yeah, that's funny, actually, because there were quite some nice ideas. But eventually, you also see that it's not just the idea. It's also really the people behind it, if you're willing to invest all kinds of time and money in it. So I think a couple startups, they went on for a while, but they eventually stopped. Eventually, I think it's literally us or maybe one other company that came out of that year's master, at least.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Commitment. So, Jelle. Yeah. So last night I had our monthly Innovators Can Laugh meetup, where me and several other B2B podcasters get together and we discuss the various tactics that we try but failed to grow our audience. For example, last season I posted a question and answer on Quora for each episode, but that failed to generate any sort of real traffic or new listeners. My question for you is, what tactics have you done that failed in getting traction for Binky?
Oh, that failed in getting traction.
A good one.
Yeah, that's interesting because it's going pretty well for Binky right now, but that's only started since September last year when we raised our seed rounds of investments. And after that, when the investors really tried reaching out to people and we got some online visibility, it all increased rapidly. But before that, it was just we kept on calling every person we knew, or we were just looking for people on LinkedIn. LinkedIn posts 2 times a week, going to events, it's hard to say whether it really failed, because you just got to keep going, and at some point you're gonna find the point where it actually works. So I wouldn't say it failed, but the first 1.5 years were really hard because the tool wasn't really finished and we had to sell it already. So that's that was for us the main obstacle there. Yeah,
that's the way to do it. What is the furthest you went in terms of an event? Like, did you have some crazy event that you went to hunt down a specific person at a specific company, or?
Ooh. I this year I went to Medica, which was in Germany, all the way in Germany. Luckily, we were invited to join, so it wasn't that expensive for us. But it was really nice to be there, and it was a huge event. You might know it, I'm not sure, but we went there to look at all kinds of potential customers, but also competitors, all kinds of hardware and not software. So it was that was quite a field day, actually. There were thousands of companies, but none of them made sense for us to talk to. So that was that was interesting.
Okay. So what I think I heard is that some things that did work for you was outreach, calling everybody that you knew, the investors, also doing some outreach on your behalf, and then also posting on LinkedIn a few times a week. Is that correct, Jelle?
Yeah. quite basic.
Okay. So some of the things that I do when I onboard like a new podcaster who joins my podcast network, I have them fill out a Google form. It has basic information about their podcast. We then do like a 15-minute welcome call where I tell them about why I created the podcast network, what it's designed to do, how it works, what to expect. When you onboard new clients, what does that user experience look like for them? Yella.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Our onboarding process is quite elaborate, it's quite big, because what we do is we measure the well-being of employees on a weekly basis. So it asks quite a lot from the employees. And if employees don't use the platform, they don't really see the use of it, but also the managers don't see the use of it, and the organization doesn't either. So the whole Binky just lives on the participation and the engagement of the employees. So therefore, we have quite a big onboarding process where we have several meetings with first the admins, so the head managers of the company, depending on the size of the company. Then we also have a meeting with all the team managers, and then also with all the employees, just to onboard them, educate them on the subject, teach them how the product works, and make them fill in their first survey, for instance.
Do you also provide masterclasses like on the different signs or how to talk to each other or stuff like that?
Yeah, I like the question. That's something we're working on. We don't do it at the moment. We mainly focus on the technological part, and we try to integrate as much with partners that are the expert in giving masterclasses or the experts in psychology, for instance, psychologists, trainers, coaches.
Exactly. And a lot of people make use of that as well, like kind of like the link to the psychologists. Like, have you seen people sign up through that already?
Yeah, that's a good one. So the funny thing is that there are quite some companies. You have like company doctors, but also other big companies in the Netherlands or Europe and America. Where they offer psychological sessions for all employees. You might know some names there. And their use is very low. So almost no one uses that service to talk to a psychologist. But when we integrate with them, we create that much awareness among employees. And we help them reflect on their well-being that they actually think, hey, shit, something is not going really well, or this is a problem. Now I know what it is, and I feel like I can talk about it. And then we see a steep increase in the amount of meetings scheduled. So that's super interesting. Yeah,
that's beautiful. Yeah,
well done. On the employees part, how much time and effort is required every week, Yella, to do this?
Very important one. So at this point, the survey. So it's a weekly survey, and we send this to every employee through Slack or WhatsApp emails to make it as easy as possible. And then it literally takes you 10 to 20 seconds a week. And then based on your scores and your time, your interests, you can look into your own dashboards and personal feedback, advices, follow-ups, like action points, whatever you like. So you can invest as much time as you want, but at the base, it just takes you 10 to 20 seconds.
Yeah, I think everybody has 20 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have a startup version as well? Maybe I want to do this with my team, actually.
Always, feel free, man. We start after, we have customers with only 15 employees, but also with 400 plus employees or 1,000 plus. It doesn't really matter how big your company is.
Wow.
So that's really nice. But let me know if you want to test it, then I can just give you guys an account.
Nice. Awesome.
Very, very cool. Very cool. So Yella, one of the things that I'm trying to do to elevate member participation, in my community is gamify it. And so, for example, podcast members, they get points when they do certain things to support another member. If they give another podcaster a nice review on Apple Podcast, then they get certain points. If they recommend someone who would be a great guest, then they get more points. What is something that Binky, that the platform does to help teams and leaders to elevate their performance?
Ooh. So, I love that you gamify it that way. That's really nice. Because that's also how we do it, actually. So we track the engagement of employees, And for every survey someone fills in, they receive credits, and we call them Binky Coins. And they can spend them on separate company reward pages. So the company can give rewards to their employees in exchange for those Binky Coins. And that's really increasing the engagement. So we have, I think the engagement is around 87% per week amongst all our users. And that's all thanks to the reward, the gamification thing. Regarding the performance, we hope to eventually also implement a way that we can reward employees for actually taking action. So when we can track that someone improves or takes action because of our feedback, then they would give would receive extra Binky Coins. But that's in the future. But that would be really nice.
And what can they spend the Binky Coins on now? Like a spa day or something? Relax.
We're quite at the beginning of this still. So we have several ideas here. But what we do right now is that a manager can just add their own benefits or rewards in the platform. And this it depends on a free day to having a free lunch or maybe a group activity. But at some point, we would also like to have our own rewards there. And people can just save up for it.
Yeah, exactly.
The big question right now is, Buster, what kind of rewards are you going to offer to your team?
I think a spa day is a good one, like a deep tissue massage, a trip to Barcelona or something. Yeah.
Oh wow! Shit, that's a good one.
You want to work at Fruit Punch now?
Yeah. Initially, I was thinking you were going to give them like a fruit tray or something because of the name, right? Here's a pineapple and some oranges and apples, you know.
here's an apple a day. Gives the doctor away. But actually, no, go see your doctor.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very, very cool. I'm excited for you. What are you excited about in the next 12 months as it relates to Binky, Jelle?
Ooh, yeah. So this is going to be quite a very important year. We're very happy with how everything is going right now. But for this year, the main focus is on finding the perfect product market fit. So we have, as I told you at the beginning, we have different kinds of income streams, for instance, or different kinds of customers. So we have with companies, partnerships, etc. So this year we really, really want to figure out what's the best way to go. Do we just want to integrate like a white label with platforms, or do we want to have our own customers? But we also just started working with company doctors. So company doctors, a doctor have easily 150 customers, and they know exactly in which company it's going bad or it's going well.
Very cool. And that's exciting.
What tests are you doing, and how are you going to determine which one you're going to go for? Is there also a component of kind of like the kind of company that you want to build, or are you going by purely by the numbers?
Oh, I love that one. I think that's also one of my struggles personally. So we started Bink with three of us, and the three of us are all first-time founders. Luckily, our investors are super experienced, so that's really nice. But for instance, I wouldn't have the perfect answer to this question. So at this point, we of course know where we want to go. We want to become the tech player in this field, but we're mainly looking at the numbers. While we should maybe also look at something else. So if you have any tips, please let me know.
Yeah, man. You know, I was trying to go by the numbers for a long time, and then but there's this thing it's called intuition, and eventually made a decision on intuition, and then that turned out to work really well. Sometimes there's these things that you can't quite capture yet, but you feel it. It sounds like bullshit, but can be very valuable.
No, 100%. I definitely know. When I started my network, it was just all on intuition, like that gut feeling that you have.
Yeah, exactly. And if you only go by the numbers, you shouldn't start a startup in the first place, right?
I've tried launching businesses and just looking at like the numbers and potential, and none of them worked out. So definitely agree with you, Buster, on that. Jelle, okay, we've come to the rapid fire section of this interview. So I have some questions for you. Give me the first thing that comes to your mind. Don't even think about it. Are you ready?
I hope so. Let's see.
All right. What is something that most people don't know about you? They're not going to see this on your LinkedIn profile.
I used to be very well at gymnastics. I did a lot of tournaments there.
Oh, the posture and everything and the kind of like the...
I thought it was something else or something. I thought maybe you challenge him to a boxing fight like you do with your other friends and...
I lost.
Okay. All right, next question for you. Before you run for president, you must destroy all evidence of your involvement with blank.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I broke someone's glasses on a party. And that's that. No one should know that.
Okay.
Did you just like stumble into a cupboard? What happened?
Keep it like that. That's a good story. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll explain after I became president.
Okay, next question for you. A time you were someone's hero. You were someone's hero. What did you do?
Well, maybe the same.
He's a hero every day now.
No, yeah. The first thing that comes to mind is the same event with the glasses. I helped someone who was getting into a fight, and then I took those glasses to save them in the fight. But the glasses broke due to the event. But I'm not sure if I was.
You're like a hero and a jerk all in like a span of like 10 minutes or something. That's what it sounds like. Okay, last question for you. Blank is an unusual food or drink that you consume.
Not really unusual, but I would say beans. Beans are just power food. A lot of energy, proteins, good for your gut health, good for your brain. I eat a lot of beans. Yeah.
Oh.
And good for your skin too.
Just straight out of the can. You just always have your can of beans next to like a kind of Popeye
spinach. Is there a particular flavor or type, like black beans, charro beans, green beans, chickpeas? I don't know. Is there a certain type?
No, I try to vary as much as possible. Yeah. So but especially in the chickpeas and chili beans, those are the best. But I try to fry as much as possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, Buster, there you go. If you ever have a dinner party and Yella's invited, you know what to serve, right?
All beans.
I can bring my own beans.
Okay. All right, Yella Halbin, thank you for coming on Innovators Collab. This has been a pleasure. Where can people learn more about you?
On LinkedIn, I think. That's and they can always reach out to me if they like. So I don't know if you're going to share any information, but if people would like to get to know me better, then feel free to reach out on LinkedIn or email.
All right. I'll include links to your LinkedIn profile and your website in the show notes. Thank you again for coming on the show. Buster, thank you so much for being a wonderful co-host.
Cheers.
As always, man. Cheers. And for everybody listening, we'll be back next week with another European startup founder. And if you enjoy this, feel free to tell others about it. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you too.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah. Okay. Just keep the browser open for a few more minutes.